the time that we have together this morning, I'd like to turn your attention to Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. We're going to talk about just really something simple that Paul speaks here about living peaceably with all men. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, and if you have turned there, if you would like to remain there, we're going to be reading most of the things that are found in the rest of that chapter. Paul, in this particular verse, speaks volumes about human relationships. And we as Christians must try to maintain the proper relationship with one another so that we can be well-pleasing in the sight of God. And he says here, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. One of the things that we come quickly to recognize in this life is that human relationships are something that are basic. They are the basis of life, whatever situation or condition or relationship we might find ourselves in. Just how we are to relate to others and those things that God wants us to do when we come in contact with others, these are the things that we want to talk about this morning. We have these kind of human relationships in everything that we do. In the home, we need to learn how to interact one with another so that we can be pleasing in the sight of God, to learn our responsibility, to learn those things that we need to do in the family, in the home, in the jobs that we have. We come in contact with other people. And I know very few jobs where you don't come in contact with other people. And we need to learn how to deal with others. Especially is this true in the body of Christ, as we as Christians are wanting to be pleasing in the sight of God and do those things that would cause us to be approved in His sight. We want to learn what the right relationship is with others and to live peaceably with them, with our friends and with our neighbors. And it has been said that the successful person in life is the one who knows how to deal with other people. The person who doesn't know how to deal with other individuals is going to have a rough time in this life. In this life. Because God created us. And God created us to get along with others. He created us as sociable beings. He did not create us as individually seeking to be isolationists, to stand off by ourselves and have nothing to do with other people. One of the things that we are to do as Christians is to take the gospel to others. And if we are going to be pleasing in that particular way, then we're going to have to learn to spread the gospel. This calls on us to come in contact with others and to teach them the word of God. He wants us to get along with others. So I believe he has given us instructions in his word whereby we can do that. And in this short verse that we have before us that we want to study, it is in that we have help, that we have support and instruction of how we can live peaceably with all men. We want to take each phrase that is found in this particular verse and go down through there and try to learn what we can. First of all, he says, if it is possible. Much, I believe, can be learned from this particular phrase that we have before us. If it is possible. The word here, if, is one that is used in the way that we normally think of it, that it is conditional, that conditions dictate the outcome, that if something goes one way or something happens, then this is going to be the result. If something else happens, then the opposite is going to be the result. It can go either way. And we use that term, we use this word in that way all the time. If such and such happens, then we will do this. It does not mean if, as what we find in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, where Paul says there, if then we are raised with Christ. That simply means the definition of that would be since we are raised with Christ. But that is not what Paul is trying to impress here. He is saying if it is possible. And this phrase lets me know that from time to time that it is not going to be possible for me to live in peace with other individuals. I think we have all known some people in our lifetime who we would characterize as being an individual who was impossible to get along with. that whatever you did, they were always doing something the opposite or doing something that really irritated you. Some people that I have known, and again, perhaps that you have known, have played the devil's advocate. That is, they do it not just some of the time, but they do it all of the time. They enjoy it. They enjoy what might seem to be conflict that would arise between one person and another person. And for that type of individual, we might say that it is almost an impossibility to get along with that person. And there are going to be times with that individual when strife will come. And in our dealings with them, we simply might ask ourselves, what else can I do? What else can be done so that I can live peaceably with that individual? And it may be that we will come to the conclusion that nothing that we will do and can do can bring peace and harmony between us and the other individual. That may be the conclusion that we reach. And I believe that in looking at this particular phrase, if it is possible, that that means that there are going to be times when peace with some people are just not possible. Again, they play the devil's advocate. There are some who have the idea and the concept that in life that if I am good and if I am kind, then I'm going to get along with everybody. That if I strive to do this, if I make it my aim in life to be good, to be kind, to be generous, to be loving, then I'm not going to have any problems. I'm going to get along with everybody that comes my way. But one of the things that we know from the New Testament and from the Old Testament is that Jesus, when he came into the world, was the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 talks about Christ being the Prince of Peace. And certainly he did come to bring peace. Peace between God and man. Are we living in the kind of life that we ought to? We'll have peace and harmony one with another. And so he was the Prince of Peace. Yet there were people that he faced, that he came in conflict with. And there was absolutely nothing that he could do to bring about the harmony that he wanted. For instance, we could think of the Jewish leaders. And it seems like every time that he came in contact with them, there was some kind of conflict. That they were questioning him. Their approach to him was that we are the teacher and you are the student. Who gave you this authority? They were always questioning him. He wanted peace. He came to bring peace. But some people simply would not let him have that. Expecting everyone to like me as an individual just because I am good is like expecting a bull to leave you alone because you're a vegetarian. Simply is not going to happen. I might be good. I might be kind. But that does not mean that everybody is going to like me and I'm going to be able to live peaceably with all people. But the one thing that we need to realize in what Paul is trying to say is that if peace is not possible, I better not let it be my fault. I better not be the one that has caused the strife, that has caused the disharmony, and the things that happen. We must pursue peace so that we can see if it is possible. We must go after it. We should not automatically think that just because an individual is a certain way, that we're not going to be able to live peaceably with them. You know, a lot of times that may be our conclusion. When we stand from a distance and we observe another individual, we see the things that they're doing, and we think to ourselves, well, I'll never get along with that person. And we have already drawn that conclusion before we know them. We cannot do that. If others will allow it, we need to make peace with them. To live peaceably with all men. There are some, as we said, with whom it is going to be impossible to get along with them, that we will not be able to maintain some kind of peaceful relationships with them. And I think as we look at it for just a little bit, we can kind of think about those individuals that it would be hard for us to get along with. One of those individuals that I believe that it would be hard for us to get along with is that individual who cares very little about what the Bible has to say. We as Christians have the Bible as the center of our life. It is the thing that sets for us the code of conduct in all that we do. We look to it for guidance. It is the center of our life, we might say, as Christ is, His Word is. And we might not get along with that individual who thinks the Bible is nothing but a book of myths, who disregards the things that the Word of God has to say, who thinks that they are outdated and outmoded. We might not get along with that individual who cares little about the Word of God. For instance, I believe that there sometimes cannot be peace between the child of God and that individual who we would classify or has been classified as homosexual or gay. And why is that reason? Because these individuals, for the most part, even though some of them may claim to be religious and want to worship Christ in some way or another, these are individuals who care very little about the Word of God. They care very little about the Bible. Again, they may say that they do, but by their actions and by their way of life, they do not. They are really disregarding what God has to say. And the reason that we cannot get along with them is that we have no common ground to stand upon. Because we, as children of God, take our defense upon the Word of God to prove what is right and what is wrong. Yet many times we find those who are homosexual, those who are gay, they will take their stand upon the Constitution of the United States to determine what is right and what is wrong. Contrary to a popular belief, the Bible and the Constitution of the United States are not one and the same. They are not the same. One comes from God, the other has been decided by men. And our ground of defense is the Word of God. We appeal to the Bible for a code of conduct. Other individuals oftentimes just appeal to their own desires, their own likes, and their own dislikes. And when people care little, if any, about the Word of God, then oftentimes the basis for the peace that we would have with them is something that is gone. There are others whom we might have problems with and get along with in this life. Are those individuals who are overbearing? They must have their way. John came in contact with an individual like that in 3 John, and his name was Diotrephes. This man seemed to be an individual who was set on having his way. That it was going to be his way or no way at all. Now, when we run across an individual who is like that, we may have peace with them for a while. As long as we go along with the things that they have to say. As long as the Word of God does not conflict with their desires and their wishes. Peace may be had for a while, but sooner or later, their desires and what the Word of God has to say or what we want to do, they're going to cross each other. When that happens, there will no longer be peace. There will no longer be harmony. And I know that you have known individuals perhaps in your lifetime who are just like this. It has happened so many times, even in the body of Christ. People simply must have their way. Because of that, the peace and the harmony and the unity between God's children has been destroyed. There's another individual, those who have no feelings for others, or who have no compassion for other individuals. And we run across an individual from time to time who is like that. They really care little about another individual, about their feelings, about how they might hurt them. We've been given instructions in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Paul said to the Philippians also in the 2nd chapter in verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. We have to have a common care and a desire to help others and to get along with them. But some people have no feelings. And therefore, it is, from time to time, hard to have peace with them. Another individual might be that person who is proud, that person who is arrogant. Thinks in some way or another, or in every way, he is better or she is better than others that are around about them. Perhaps, again, with that individual, it is going to be hard to have peace. But what Paul is saying here is, that if it is possible, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, he says in the next phrase, as much as depends upon you. And again, this tells me that I have to do everything that I possibly can to have peace with that other individual. I will do everything that I can, short of compromising the truth, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. We have sometimes no control over others to make them have peace with us and harmony with us. Some people are simply not going to do that. We talked about a few of those individuals just now. They're going to do as they please. When that happens, we simply cannot get so upset that we don't know what we're going to do. We cannot be so upset if that other individual chooses another path that leads to strife. But we must do our part. We must make every effort that we possibly can to have peace with that individual. We are peacemakers. This is what God wants us to be. There in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, Christ said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Here in the 14th chapter, verse 19 of Romans, Paul says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." These are things that we are supposed to pursue. We understand what the word pursue means. It means to go after something, to have a zeal for it. That's what we are to do with peace. Pursue those things that make for peace. Be peacemakers. But how is this to be accomplished? How are we to be able to pursue peace? What are we supposed to do in order to have peace with other individuals? There are several things that we can do. One of those things is that we are to be dedicated to the Lord. We are to be dedicated unto Him, and this will help us to pursue peace with other individuals. Here in Romans 12, and verses 1 and 2, says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here's the way we are to be. We are to be dedicated unto Christ. We're not to be like the world. The world would have us in conflict one with another all the time. The world would have us being selfish, seeking our own way. The world would have us running roughshod one over the other. That's the mold of the world. But the mold of Jesus Christ is unselfishness. And that's what we are to be like and be dedicated unto Him. If one is not fervently trying to serve the Lord, he's going to care little about getting along with other individuals. But if he is dedicated to the Lord, then the opposite is going to be true. He's going to do whatever he can to live peaceably with all men. We must also be humble. Note verse 3 of that same chapter. "For I say through the grace of God, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." He is talking about being humble before God. And when we are humble, we're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. We are going to strive to live peaceably with all men. Look at verse 16. "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." What happens with those who are wise in their own opinion, who have selfish ambition? These are individuals that care little about other people. We have got to be like Christ, dedicated to Him, being humble. 1 Peter 3 and verse 5 says, "God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." We should have a sincere love for each other. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 12. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cleave to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." This is the way that we are to be. We are to have a sincere love for each other. And this is a love that is honest. This is a love that is pure. That it has no unclean or impure motives behind it. We're not seeking to have an advantage over someone else. That's the kind of love that we need to demonstrate. And when we do, we can take giant steps in living peaceably with all men. We need to deal fairly also with others. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Live this way. And when we deal fairly with others, then we again are going to take those great strides in living peaceably. Be also, he says in verses 20 and 21, be good to those who are your enemies. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If you thirst, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Chapter 13, he goes on. He deals with citizenship and our responsibility to authorities and to the government. He deals with neighbors. He deals how we ought to be with them, how we ought to treat them. Notice verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its love. We are to put on Christ and be like Christ. We're not to make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh, because when we begin to do that, it's going to be hard for us to live peaceably. These efforts we make in keeping peace with all men, doing all we can to bring about harmony with others. In all of these efforts, one of the things that we must do is we must not violate our loyalty to the Word of God. And this is what I'm afraid some people have done. We are not taught in the Word of God to have peace at any cost. And a lot of people follow that philosophy, even in the church. Even when doctrinal matters or difficulties might arise, their chief concern is keeping peace. And if they have to compromise the gospel of Christ on whatever matter, they will compromise it so that they might live peaceably with others. We're not going to get to heaven because we have kept peace with others. We are going to get to heaven simply because we have kept the Word of God. And we have got to take a strong stand for that. Peace that is reached by following God's law is what God wants. Not violating our own conscience also, as he says in the 14th chapter of Romans and verse 23. Peace at all costs with others will eventually bring sin. And we have to keep that in mind. But he says here, as much as depends on us to live peaceably with all men. And we need to realize this is not just a suggestion that Paul is making here. This is not something that is going to be a nice thing if we can accomplish it. What he has said here is that it is a command, and we must do our part. We are going to secure that peace. It's a command. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, we find Paul as he gives instructions there, parting admonitions to the saints there at Corinth. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. He wants them to live in peace. Harmony among themselves. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Peter, as he quotes from the Old Testament in Psalms chapter 37, says there in verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Seeking peace, following after it with our all is something that we must do, again, to be pleasing in the sight of God. To live peaceably means that we're going to have harmonious relationships with others. That we are going to have a friendliness. That there's going to be a rest between us. There's going to be a contentment. That between us, there will not be bitterness, there will not be conflict and strife, there will not exist enmity between us. Those things have been done away with. We're going to live peaceably with all men. In Psalm 133 and verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's good, it's pleasant, the psalmist says here. It's good in the sense that it is right. It is proper for us to live in peace one with another. It is pleasant. It is something that is pleasing, the inspired writer says. Think for just a moment about yourself and another individual that you have harmony with in this life. That for years you have had peace. There is a unity between you. Maybe a husband, it may be a wife or a child or a brother or sister, someone in Christ with whom you have gotten along with for years, and you love to be with that person, and there is a peace that exists between you. Think of that for a moment. Perhaps you have somebody in mind. Now think for just a moment, something has come up that peace is destroyed. Something has happened. And you no longer have that harmony with you and that individual. What a horrible thing it is, isn't it? It's a terrible thing to destroy that. To destroy that harmony and that peace. We need to strive to have that harmony with others. To live peaceably. Paul says here, with all men. He says, everybody. He's not saying just some individuals. He's not saying most individuals. But we are to strive to have peace with everybody. It's easy for us from time to time to have peace with some people. We can sometimes be so friendly and so outgoing, we might say, with those individuals who are strangers. Some people that we have made who are new friends. Yet at the same time, we can be so rude and so inconsiderate and so biting with those people that we've known for a long period of time. It might be family members. It might be old friends. Some of the most hateful remarks that I have ever heard have come between those who are relatives. And it's just simple. They don't have any peace that exists between them. That same person can turn around to a stranger and just be just as friendly as they possibly can. Paul says here to live peaceably with all men. We also find that the opposite is true. Some people work very hard to maintain the right kind of relationship with close friends, and they'll bend over backwards, and they'll take great care with that relationship, but they'll care nothing about making peace with those that they might classify as being their enemies. Those whom they care little for. The text says all men. That includes family, husband and wife, strive to have peace one with the other. Parents and children, friends and relatives, strangers, people that are in the community, our in-laws, those who are fellow Christians. Those who, again, might classify themselves as being our enemies. To live peaceably with everyone. This is what God demands of us. This is what He wants us to strive to do. To live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There are so many different types of people in this world. So many different types of personalities in our society. With different characters, different traits, different backgrounds and dispositions, different beliefs. And it would almost seem that it would be impossible for us to have peace with every one of them. Some people might conclude it's not even worth the effort to try. But we are. We are to live peaceably. With all men. With some people, we may never live peaceably. But it must not be our fault that peace does not exist, that harmony is not secured between us and them. Whenever peace is not had, then we better maintain and strive to have the kind of love for that other individual and leave the door open for peace at all times, so that maybe once again we can fulfill that command that God has given. Let us strive to do our part. This is all that God commands of us. This is what He expects. You know, one of the wonderful things about Christianity is that success is not dependent upon the outcome, more or less, of what we're doing. But success lies in the fact that we try, that we do what God tells us to do. He will do the rest. We must try. We must make every effort. Live peaceably with all men. This is a command that God has given. Let us strive every day of our life. Live that kind of life that would bring about peace with others. And if peace does not exist, let us make sure it's not our fault. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, there's a song that has been selected that we're going to sing as a means of invitation. As we talk about peace, we mentioned that Christ was the Prince of Peace. We cannot help but think about what He has done. All of the efforts that He made in bringing peace unto man. There is, because of sin, that separation that we have from God. That we are standing on the opposite side from God. Jesus Christ came so that we could have peace with Him. So that we could have peace with God, be reconciled unto Him. And that's what we talked about there in 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. Approaching verses of reconciliation. This is what Christ came to do. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ can do in our obedience unto Him. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, you're not at peace with Him. You don't have those blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. And it's very simple for you to be added to the body of Christ. The commands are not hard. Faith, penance, confession, baptism, these things are the commands which are necessary. The thing that we have to overcome is our own stubborn will of submitting ourselves to the commands of God. If you're here this morning, the song has been selected. We hope by what has been said and the encouragement in the Psalms that you will make your way forward, that you will be added to the body of Christ and enjoy those spiritual blessings found in Jesus Christ. It's very simple. But all you have to do is surrender unto Christ. If you're here, you want to do these things. All things have been prepared. They are ready. Just make your way forward. Won't you do it as we stand and as we sing the song?